This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Anthony Polite from Florida State will join us coming up here in about 15 minutes. Nell Fortner, the women's basketball coach at Georgia Tech, in the Sweet 16 as well, will join us at the bottom of the hour. All right, Kelly, we talked about yesterday on the women's side of the tournament. Some good news and some not so good news as far as the league is concerned. Let's start with the positive, and that is right. It was all over the place yesterday. The good news is the number one seed lighting team, NC State, struggled a little bit early, down by one at halftime, but found a way to take care of business and moved into their third consecutive Sweet 16.
They did, and that's the bottom line, Pac. We just talked about with the NC State men back in 1983, survive and advance. And I've been encouraged by what I've seen from NC State in the second half. Their first halves have been a little sluggish. I know not having Kayla Jones has been a factor. She was hurt in the first half against North Carolina A&T. She was out yesterday against South Florida. I think they're still very hopeful she could play in the Sweet 16, but this is a first-team All-ACC performer. This is a leader for them. She has so much poise. She does so much for them offensively, and she grabs about 7 rebounds a game. So I think they're still adjusting a little bit to playing without her. But Ja'Kia Brown-Turner, the sophomore sensation, JBT, you can see her right there, number 11. She was excellent in this game. She is just a scorer. Pack. There are shooters and there are scorers. And Ja'Kia Brown-Turner can shoot the three. She can hit the mid-range. She can attack the basket. She's a great free throw shooter. And she was really their whole offense in the first half. And then Kinane, after taking some bruises from South Florida, who was trying to use every single one of their fouls in that game, Pack, Kinane was a lot better in the second half.
You know, the thing you got to like there about NC State, number one, they've won 10 straight. Number two, they've got that now championship DNA, winning another ACC title, feeling comfortable, 3 straight Sweet 16s. And much like Florida State's men's team, it's almost like every night it could be somebody else that's going to give you 18 and 10, right? And that when you've got that kind of balance that, hey, next person up, let's go, you can win. And that, is again, regardless of who you're playing, it doesn't seem to matter that you have faith that somebody can step up and make the shot or make plays or a defensive stop and, hey, we're going down the other way. And I think the fact that NC State struggled in the first two games, I don't think it's a bad thing, Kelly. I think it just basically reaffirms to them that guess what? We're the best team. We're a one seed. We know what we're here to do, and that is get to the Final Four and win a national championship. I think NC State's mentality, the mental makeup of this team, might be the most impressive part right now.
I agree, Pac. And, you know, you look at Baylor, you look at UConn, these teams that have just blown out their opponents. And that's fine. They're feeling really good right now, sure. But I think NC State is maybe not feeling as good about themselves, which to me is kind of an okay thing, right? You're still very motivated. You're still working on things day in and day out, whereas UConn's just blown everyone out, and so has Baylor. But look, we haven't seen that on both sides. Stanford had a close one with Oklahoma State, so it's not like every 1 and 2 seed is just blowing every other team out of the water. But I do love this parallel between the Florida State men and the NC State women. I think there is a lot there. You've got balance. You've got really good depth. These are two teams that defend but can also score in bunches. And, you know, FSU will play 10, 11 deep. NC State's not going to do that. But NC State truly has that balance where it could be Ja'Kia Brown-Turner in the first half, Kinane in the second half, Reyna Perez. I absolutely love her game. Of course, Kayla Jones when she returns. And then the fact that NC State is bringing Jada Boyd off the bench, who has been excellent in Kayla Jones's absence. Pack, Jada Boyd could start for basically any other team in the country. And Wes Moore has the luxury of bringing her off the bench and having her replace Kayla Jones. That's a big deal because Jada Boyd is a very talented player.
So NC State's a one seed. They move on to the Sweet 16. Louisville's a two seed. They play this afternoon against Northwestern at 5 p.m. Georgia Tech is a 5 seed. They took care against West Virginia, who was the 4 seed. And it has not happened often. I was kidding around with you earlier today about all the chalk on the women's side. We've now had 40 games in the NCAA women's tournament, 32 won by the higher seed. Well, guess what? That wasn't the case with the Jackets yesterday that really were impressive. I mean, this was thought to be an absolute rock fight. You figure it was going to be close. It really wasn't. Georgia Tech won comfortably against the Mountaineers.
I really thought this was going to be closer. And the difference for me with Georgia Tech, we know that they are going to guard. And defense travels. All right, they're going to play defense. They're going to hold you under 60. It's just a matter of can they get their offense going. And the big difference for Georgia Tech between the Stephen F. Austin win and this one over West Virginia is how they shot the basketball. Lodamai Lotinen is the key for Georgia Tech. If she's able to score the ball and shoot it well from three, then their ceiling is super high. If she doesn't, then they can still guard you and they can still grit out a tough win. But if Lodamai Lotinen is knocking down threes like that, and Loyal McQueen as well, the freshman, then Georgia Tech's a completely different team because we know they're going to rebound. We know Kubai is going to be a defensive menace inside and she's going to push around. But if their guards can shoot the ball like they did against West Virginia, then they can give anyone a game. And this South Carolina game, look, I know most people are just completely counting Georgia Tech out, and we're going to talk to Nell Fortner about it. But these teams are very similar. They both rely on their defense, and they both have somewhat spotty shooting. So if Georgia Tech can knock down threes and they can really contest those South Carolina threes and run them off the line, I think this game could be closer than most think, Pac.
Georgia Tech's 17-point win is their second largest in NCAA tournament history, their history. I'm going to go back though, to the mindset. We talked about NC State a second ago, one seed. You know there's pressure. Oh, you got to get there. You got to get there. Struggled in the first game, trailing at halftime yesterday, found a way to win, move on. How about Georgia Tech, though, Kelly? You know, their first game, they're down 17. There's that number again. They're down 17 at halftime to the 12 seed, Stephen F. Austin. You're thinking, yikes, it's going to end this way? No, uh-uh. We came back. They played great in the second half, forced overtime. They win by two. Sometimes you need a jolt like that to just kind of relax everybody that, okay, you know what? We took everybody's best shot. We probably should be out of here on the couch right now, but we're still alive and kicking, the old survive and advance motto. You almost get a sense that Georgia Tech played very relaxed yesterday. Again, for a game, a four versus a five seed, you figure it's going to be close. How about Georgia Tech looked completely comfortable and at ease yesterday in winning that game?
You're 100% right, because I think what happened in the first game is they played really poorly and they didn't lose. So now you feel like you're playing with house money to a certain extent, and you also know that you're not going to play that poorly again because Georgia Tech's a very good team. So they had one game where they really struggled to shoot the ball and they just weren't gelling. They were definitely nervous. You had the nerves. They were playing tight, but they still came back and won. And I think that's really impressive because we've seen higher seeds, if they get down, it can be an absolute struggle, and they just don't have the grit and the fight to come back and win that game. But credit Lorella Kubai, who I think is the heart and soul of that team. She is the grittiest and the toughest player in the ACC, and they fought back. And then you're right, Pac, it felt like they were playing freer, like they had a weight lifted off their shoulders. They won the first game. No one was really picking them to beat West Virginia, and you could see that freeness in their play. So will that continue against South Carolina? I'm excited to ask Coach Nell Fortner about that and also ask her about her water bath because that looked pretty fun.
She got smashed last night, but that was, you know what, that's a feel good.
She got
good.
Soaked.
Yeah, that's a feel good though. That's one that you don't mind. That's a W bath is what that was. But Coach will join us coming up here in about 20 minutes or so. All right, that was the good news yesterday for the ACC in the women's tournament. If you stayed up and watched games last night, there were a couple that got lopsided. And again, you're playing really good teams. Let's start with Syracuse. They took on UConn. Best of luck. It did not end well. But we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up Tiana, because I mentioned to you earlier, her story has been absolutely incredible for her to be back. She's a great player, but what she's gone through from a personal standpoint and her message to everybody that, hey, you just keep fighting, right? Every day, just keep fighting. I mean, you hate to see it end that way for her and for the Orange, because Q's done a really nice job. But UConn was simply too good last night. Just too good.
They were. And I thought Syracuse just looked exhausted. They have some people that aren't with the team right now due to violation of team rules. Priscilla Williams is hurt. So they're really playing six players. And they just looked exhausted against UConn, and they turned the ball over too much. Can't do that and give UConn easy looks in transition. But to your point about Tiana Monacahia, she's one of the best point guards to ever play in the ACC, there's no doubt. I think she is the greatest point guard to ever play at Syracuse. And you add all that on-the-court performance and those numbers with her off-the-court story and the inspiration. And just, you know, imagine being in her shoes. You're diagnosed with breast cancer. You're however many miles Australia is away. tens of thousands. I don't even know. Is that right, Pac? That seems like a lot on the globe.
It is now.
Very far away.
We're going with it.
From Australia. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
You're a million miles away from home in Australia, which I'm not trying to make light of that because I know that was very difficult. She fought back and was able to be super productive this year. So as our friend Brent Axe says up on ESPN Syracuse, retire that jersey. Syracuse has yet to retire a women's number. Put number 4 in the rafters. I am all for that up in the Carrier Dome.
Yeah, that'd be a really, really cool story and one that's certainly well-deserved. I mean, her story is just amazing and just a wonderful lady. And we've had her on the show. And again, everybody's seen her story. But tough night, though, for the Orange. Virginia Tech had a tough night, too. They took on a Baylor team who's a 2 seed and really just terrific. I mentioned to you, and you know this because you cover it left and right, but the 1 line and the 2 line in the women's tournament, all 8 of those teams, any of them can win the national championship. They are that good. But Baylor was just too physical, too big, too dominant inside. Virginia Tech just couldn't do anything with them.
I don't know why Baylor's a 2. I mean, I get why, because their resume was a little lacking just overall, but they're getting hot and they're playing like a 1 seed. And when Kim Mulkey says, "This is one of the best defensive performances I've ever seen from one of my Baylor teams," and she's had 3 national title teams, that's saying something. This Baylor team, I think, looks really good. And I'll let you in on a little secret, Pack. I have Baylor beating UConn to get to the Final Four. Just saying, I have that happening in my bracket. I think Baylor's too balanced. They're too big. They're too physical. I think they can push Beckers around a little bit. It's still going to be a great game if we get there. Baylor has to get through some other teams first. But yeah, they looked great. And for Virginia Tech, a great season to get back to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2006. Absolutely incredible. Asia Shepherd has done so much for that program. She's one of my favorite. Talk about a shooter, Pack. Yeah. She's putting that thing up. I love watching Asia Shepherd play. And of course, Liz Kitley is one of the best post players in the entire country.
And she had a tough night last night. I mean, the size and the wave of players that Baylor threw on her, that she, I mean, we just know where to turn. And that game got out of control. And, you know, sometimes I think with all the protocols that these student athletes have been through a season, when you get to that point in the tournament and the game gets away from you, it really gets away from you, right? I mean, I think we've seen that on the men's side. We've now seen that on the women's side, that the effort needed just to have a practice, just to have a game. Now you go to this long grind, and you could look up at the scoreboard, and hey, we're down 24 at halftime. You can kind of get it. I mean, I kind of understand how people are like, hey, you know what? It's been fun. It's been great. Hopefully we get another chance to do this. Let's go play. But a tough way for both the Syracuse and Virginia Tech seasons to end, but a lot to look back on and go, hey, you know what? We did some really good things this year for both of them.
Exactly right. And the fact that Virginia Tech brings back Liz Kitley, everyone watch out. I'm sure Kinane will be the ACC preseason player of the year, but Kitley will be right up there because she is that good for the Hokies.
Well, I'll say this much, though, for Elizabeth Kitley, because she was on with us the other day, and she said, you know, I got an exam Thursday in organic chemistry. So I'm sure there was probably a time last night she's thinking, you know, this Baylor thing, all right, done. We'll get back to you guys. I got to go worry about this organic chemistry test coming up on Thursday. But she is a tremendous player, and I love what both Q and Kenny are building at their respective institutions. It's all good. Quick break. When we come back, Anthony Polite is going to join us. And if you watched the Noles the other night against Colorado, they knocked the door down to their 3rd consecutive Sweet 16, and Mr. Polite went for 22. He was looking good. He makes his debut on the show. We've had a lot of Noles, but Anthony's up first. All that's coming up next. Packer and Durham. Kelly Gramlich filled in for Wes. Got us on ACC Network, streaming live on that ESPN app.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
ACC Network, Packer and Durham. Kelly Gramlich rocking and rolling, debuting. I told you this is a Tiger takeover. Eric McLean tag teamed with us a long time ago, but this is the first Kelly Gramlich takeover, so it's all good. All right, Kelly, you ready to roll? We're getting ready to go to the men's side of the Sweet 16. We were talking about the ladies. Now we're going to go to the men. Let's go to Indianapolis. This guy put on a show the other night. Colorado was like, man, we got no answer for Anthony Polite. Anthony, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, first of all, congratulations on another Sweet 16. I know there's still some unfinished business, but that was a tremendous effort for you individually the other night against Colorado. But I thought your team defense was out of sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what we've been harping on, playing defense. And, I mean, that's what we believe is going to win us a championship, and especially game by game. And that's what we got to keep focusing on.
Anthony, your game against Colorado, you went off a little bit, hit some threes, you were feeling good. What were you seeing from that Colorado defense that enabled you to have the game you had?
I was just focusing on defense possession by possession. I was able to read some of their plays. I've been watching a lot of film. I mean, we all been watching film. I'm extremely excited to be where we are, and I was able to make some plays, and a lot of teammates find me in open spots, and I was able to knock down shots.
By the way, Anthony, we had your coach on, Leonard Hamilton, last week. He talked about the Achilles injury. He said it's not going to stop him with the boot, but he said he had they had an exorcism to get rid of all those turnovers. I know he's been preaching to you about holding on to the basketball. So how's that working out? Because I'm going to tell you, the first 5 minutes of that game against Colorado, I'm sitting on the couch going, oh, my God, there's five more turnovers. I thought Coach said he got the exorcism out there. So you guys got that straightened out?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that, like Coach said, I mean, we've been preaching that since the beginning of the season. We just got to concentrate on taking care of the ball. And it's up to us that we take care of the ball. And just make the right reads, find the open man, and try not to force anything.
Well, you talk about finding the open guy. You know, FSU is known for its balance, as you might know. You're on the team. And you were the guy that went off against Colorado. But where does that unselfishness come from? I feel like that's a culture thing where you guys seem really happy for whomever has the hot hand in the game.
I mean, yeah, that's the culture we built. I feel like every night could be a different guy. Everybody, we love each other. We play for one another. And we play very unselfishly. And we try to get the best shot every possession. And yesterday, the ball seemed to find me. And I was able to knock down shots.
You know what? Yeah, the ball found you. You know why? Because Scotty Barnes was throwing dimes, man. What's up with that 6'9 point guard, man? He was throwing some bullets the other night. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, it definitely did. Hit me in the shot pocket. All his passes are always accurate. And, I mean, it's fun to play with a guy like him.
You guys have a lot of great shooters, and you're shooting 44% from three this season, but so many different guys can knock it down. If you're doing like an NBA-style three-point contest, all right, you have the racks out there, everything, who on the FSU team is winning that three-point contest?
We have a lot of good shooters. Everybody's knocking down shooters, but I'm going to go with myself.
Okay, all right, beyond yourself, if you had to pick someone else, I appreciate the confidence and I respect it, but you got to pick someone else.
I'm going to go with Nate Jack.
Oh,
wow. Daniel Jack.
That's an interesting call.
Okay.
I didn't expect that answer. Hey, what's up with what's up with MJ Walker? I asked that the other day. I know he's not 100% healthy. I know that, but he's been quiet lately, Anthony. Again, the cool thing about your team is you just said it. Any given night, somebody can light you up for 20 plus. But it seems like MJ Walker has been kind of quiet lately. I keep waiting for him to go nuts in this NCAA tournament.
Now, he's definitely he's being a great leader. He's doing everything he can to make sure that we come out on top. And I'm sure he's giving all he got. And I'm sure a lot more is coming. It's bound to happen. I'm sure he's going to have a great game against Michigan.
It's just a matter of time. Well, speaking of Michigan, I know that you've had a lot of time to watch film and get ready for Michigan. What have you seen from them on tape, and what are a few keys for your team in that game?
They're a great team, coached by a great coach, with a lot of talent on their team. And we're just going to keep doing, playing defense like we have. And we know they like to go to Hunter Dickinson a lot. So we're going to have to do a good job on him.
Anthony, this is a crazy question, but do you remember watching the Michigan coach, Juwan Howard, play in the NBA?
Yeah, definitely. I'm actually, when I moved to the States, I moved down south in Florida, so I'm very close with his son, Sean D. Brown.
So I was going to say, is that kind of weird to know that, hey, you know what, we're going to go take on this team, and I remember watching this dude play in the NBA? I mean, is that kind of a crazy thought?
Yeah, it is. It definitely is crazy. It's going to be fun competing against my friends, too. So, I mean, going to have to lay it all out again, and it's going to be fun. Good experience.
Anthony, I know your dad played at FSU, and then you were actually born overseas because he was playing overseas. So you mentioned you came back to the States. I think you moved back in your teenage years. What was it like growing up overseas? And then I also saw you played soccer. I feel like that has to be the European influence as well.
Yeah, I grew up, all my friends that were playing soccer. I started with a basketball in my hands, but all my friends were playing soccer, and I enjoyed it. So early in my career, I played 4 years of soccer. And at one point, I just said that basketball was my thing. So I switched back to basketball, and it's been that since then.
So what's it been like getting away from basketball? I mean, you guys have gone through this grind. You've had two stoppages this year with the COVID situation. Now you've got to where you exactly where you want to be, the Sweet 16, with an opportunity to take down a number one seed in Michigan. So what's it been like during the week? Forget basketball. What's the regular day been like for you?
I mean, it's been sacrifices. I mean, I remember last year when they told us that the ACC tournament was canceled, and then the NCAA double tournament was canceled. Everybody was very frustrated because everybody wanted to play, obviously. So, and we knew what we wanted to accomplish, and we wasn't able to do it. So, I mean, it's been a lot of sacrifices. Because of COVID, not being able to do what we've been able to do in pretty much everyday normal life. And so, yeah, just hanging out around the team, trying to stay away from public places, and just enjoying the time with the team and just trying to stay safe.
So there's got to be an appreciation that you're playing again, right? I mean, you're embracing the fact that it's not what we don't have. It's what we do have, and we have an opportunity to go this weekend, if we keep it safe and do all the right things, a chance to play, right? Chip on shoulder, let's go.
Yes, exactly. Extremely, extremely happy that we're in this position, able to play.
I salute you guys, because I just can't imagine being a student athlete during this time. The sacrifices that you guys have made, is no doubt about it, and you're getting that chance to showcase your talents on the highest level. We've talked a lot on this show today, Anthony, actually, about Florida State being a new blood. And I know you guys have really bought into that, and you have it. Coach Hamm has it on his mask and everything like that. What does FSU being a new blood mean to you?
It's the culture. It's something that, we've been building over the years. Players that have been here before me started that. And, I mean, me being here and being able to keep on the culture growing, and I feel like us being able to win a championship that could keep the culture growing and make a good footstep for the players that are going to come here after me and after us. And, I mean, it's just playing for Coach Hamm and doing all that, all the sacrifices, all the hard work. I mean, you could see it with him. He's walking with a boot on, with a torn Achilles, and it seems like nothing has happened. So, I mean, it's just a mindset, and I'd say it's a mindset and the culture.
Before we let you go, we ask this to every student athlete: Since you've been in Florida State, what's been the hardest class?
The hardest class, I'd say, is probably the class that I'm in right now, definitely.
Which is what?
Cost accounting.
Oh, another account. You know, that's been a popular choice today with the student
athletes.
It's always
accounting.
It's always accounting. I get it. I'm not a big fan of that either, but you got to have it.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, stay healthy, all right? It's been a joy watching you play. Congratulations on the success to date. But like I know, there's some unfinished business for you boys from Tallahassee. So we wish you the very best against Michigan on Sunday.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You got it. Anthony Polite. Taking care of business, 22 against Colorado. They really frustrated Colorado. That was a that's when, you know, Florida State looked like Florida State. I thought in their last game, Kelly, when they suffocating defense,
yeah,
made life miserable for everybody on the floor. And if they hold on to the basketball and don't turn it over 20 times, I think they're a tough out. I do. I think they are a team that can definitely get to the Final Four.
No doubt, especially with Michigan missing Isaiah Livers, one of their leaders. And he's a guy that Michigan really has relied on all year. And they both have size, so that's going to be an interesting battle inside. And I have to say, Pack, Anthony Polite, real polite guy. Really polite interview. It was excellent.
You were working on that. You've been working on that all night, didn't you? That 2 hours of sleep.
Sitting there. Yeah. I had to get it out.
I know this much. Our next guest will be rocking and rolling. I hope she's dried off from the last time I saw a video of her last night, because Nell Fortner got absolutely doused with water in a victory celebration. And we'll talk about another team that punched their ticket to the Sweet 16 when we return. But Nell Fortner is next here during the Power Hour. Again, she is always a trip. Survived that first one. Looked awfully good beating up on West Virginia yesterday. Coach Nell is up next. Packer and Durham on ACC Network and also on SiriusXM Channel 371.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Doesn't get any, well, it does get better than that. But I tell you what, that felt pretty good, Coach. That was a good one.
Look, man. Look, there's just nothing better. It's sports brings out the most awesome emotions and just so much the fun stuff. And that was to be able to celebrate with your kids and see their excitement and just, look, that was fun. That was one of the most fun moments I've had in coaching, for sure.
As a follow-up, before Kelly asks a real pertinent question regarding X's and O's, I'm sensing with that wash and hose down, that took a while to dry off from that one, right? That was a good one.
Hey, man. Look, I had to go straight to the press conference after that. I had to get a new shirt. One of my assistant coaches just gave me their shirt, you know, so I could wear it. But look, this is the other thing. Those kids, they took that water right out of the cooler. That water was cold. I mean, real cold. So. But who cares? I don't care.
Oh, man.
That's great.
Coach, you were loving it. You were loving it. I've got to know, before we get X's and O's, who officially came up with Nell Yeah? Because that is one of the best mottos and hashtags that any team has in the country. What is the origin of that?
Yeah, that came from the SEC Network. And working with them at ESPN, yes, they developed that for us, like Andy Land, and Andy would do his Andy Landers, his breakdown, and his was called Andy Land, and my breakdown or my awards that I would give would be Nell Yes. And so when we came here to Georgia Tech picked up on that with Nell Yeah. So there's Nell Yes, and there's Nell Yeah, and there's, you know, so it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Coach, as long as you get it trademarked, you know what? All I know, I've been in that business before. Once you get that sucker trademarked, it's yours. That's how it works.
Well, I don't know if I'm that big yet, but I appreciate that.
Hey, listen.
It's catchy, yeah.
Between Jeff Collins, the football coach, and all the stuff he's got going on with the brand and the market and all that stuff, and Pastor with his face shield, I mean, the least you could do is get that thing trademarked and – join that crowd now. That's big time.
Okay, I'm going to look into that right after we hang up. I'm getting after it.
All right, now listen, I know it's early.
We love it.
It's 8:37 in the morning, Texas time. So you can't complain about being early, because the last time we woke you up this early was game day when you were in Tallahassee, and that worked out to be a W. So I'm sensing there's some momentum and a trend continuing here.
Yeah, well, this is the difference, okay? This is the difference between the 2 days, all right? I'm an early morning person anyway, so I get up early. But we happened to stay up a little bit later last night.
So this
morning came a little earlier, okay?
Wait, how is that our fault?
We're picking up what you're putting down.
How's that our fault, Coach? That sounds like a you problem, not a we problem.
Well, it's a fun problem to have. How about that?
That's exactly right. That's the best one. Yeah. No question.
No doubt about it. Coach, let's talk about these games. So the Stephen F. Austin game, obviously not the best performance, but the fact that you guys fought back and won that game, just an absolute gritty performance. So what do you think changed for your team? And specifically, what did you tell them in between SFA and then really the beatdown of West Virginia?
Really, this team has never been to the NCAA tournament, and it's been a goal of theirs. That was one of our goals this year. So they've never experienced this before. And when you get into the NCAA tournament, it has a totally different feel. I mean, there's some pressure on it. It's this all newness of it, the bigness of it. And that first game for most teams, most of the 64 teams, is the hardest game in this tournament, because it's that survive and advance game. You cannot move forward if you don't win the first one. So there's a lot of pressure on it. I think we felt that pressure. That gym was incredibly loud. It was a home court advantage, really, for Stephen F. Austin. They brought a great amount of people down for the game, and good for them. They had a great showing that way. So it just took us a while to find get our feet back, on the ground, and really find our bearings on the floor. I'm just really proud of the fight in those kids. And this team just was not going to lose that game. This is not what they came to the NCAA tournament to do. They wanted to experience it, and they're experienced enough to fight through something like that. So we were really fortunate, though, to come away with that win. And after that, hey, you can just settle in and play. You're the underdog after that. Now you're hunting for the rest of the tournament.
That's interesting you said that. I just mentioned that to Kelly a second ago. You guys played so much more relaxed, almost like, hey, we dodged the bullet. Hey, let's go. We're going here to have fun now. And I thought your team played very relaxed against West Virginia. Like, hey, this is what we're supposed to do. But I do want to go back, though, to the end of game one against Stephen F. Austin. There was a shot of you. I'm sure you haven't even seen it. But you end up winning the game in overtime. Oh, there goes Coach. You end up winning the game, and they make a shot right after the buzzer. But there was an expression on your face like, oh, can we just get out of the gym? I mean, I think we got the win, but can we just get out of here with a W? There was just a sense of, we've been fighting uphill all day, and you know what? We got there. I don't even want to ask any questions. Let me just get back to the hotel, get to bed, and we'll worry about all this other stuff tomorrow.
Yeah, it was that was touch and go right there. There's no doubt. Super proud of our kids to not foul in that situation, because they'd be, you would some kind of reaching over and you kind of try to slap at the ball. But we just, we had a hard time boxing that kid out who got the shot at the end. She was a really phenomenal offensive rebounder. We're just really fortunate that she missed the buzz. She just put it up a little bit too late. I thought that when the shot went up, I thought we had won, because we saw the official pretty close to us go, no, no good. And saw the red lights go on around the goal before the shot left her hand. So I felt good about it, but you just never know in the end. So just happy to get, you're right, happy to get out of that one.
Coach, the way I think of you guys just on the court is you're going to bring your defense. You're very gritty. So when you defend, you can win almost any game. But when you get in the tournament, you're playing some of these better teams, you guys need to defend. And then, to me, Lodamai Lottman has to come to play and make shots on the outside to open things up for people inside. Is that the way that you view your team as well?
Yeah, she had an outstanding night last night, no doubt. Kubai was ridiculously good defensively. And Lodamai kind of took the pressure off of all of us offensively when she knocked down that three early and just was really so confident offensively. But, yeah, you know, we our three leaders, Kiara Fletcher, Lorella Kubai, Lodamai Lotnin, those three really set the tone for us. And they set it on both ends of the floor. So we go really as those three go. And they came to play. They just had that mindset, like, we're winning this game today. But if we're not winning it, we're going to play good and we're going to feel good about ourselves when we walk out that back door. So I felt like we just – they put the hammer down. And the rest of the team follows when they do that. And, it worked out in our favor.
Coach, as you well know, the beauty of this tournament is the longer you hang around, you really get great competition. And now next up is a number one seed in South Carolina. And, of course, Dawn Staley's built a monster down in Columbia, South Carolina. But you know what? I get a sense that this is exactly where you want to put yourself in this position to take on a great program, a great team, because this is why you work so hard, to play in games just like this.
That's exactly right. You said it perfect right there, because this is why you work your off season, your preseason, all your non-conference, your conference, to get ready for this. You use all those experiences now to go play that number one seed in this tournament. Look, when you play in this tournament, nothing gets easier, so you can expect more every game. But so can they, so can your opponent. And look, at this point, it's everybody's trying to get to the same place. There's pressure on everybody, especially those number one seeds. So, hey, we're just going to go play. We're going to play as hard as we can. We're going to prepare as hard as we can to do things to give us the best shot of winning, and we'll see what happens. But, that's what it's all about. It's so much fun. That preparation is a lot of fun also, I'll tell you, just to kind of game scheme and personnel scheme. So looking forward to getting going with that.
We're looking forward to seeing it for sure. And, I've sensed this vibe with Georgia Tech these days, with the men winning the ACC tournament, both of you guys top four seeds in the ACC, and then, of course, you guys in the Sweet 16. I'm getting basketball school vibes from Georgia Tech. Are you feeling that and the excitement building around Atlanta and around Tech?
I do. And this time of year you always do, especially when you've got teams in the tournament. So, it feels really good. And I think, that's one of the things that I think where Georgia Tech can just be so outstanding, because Atlanta is such a fantastic, vibrant city that it can attract, student athletes that want to have the best of both worlds in that regard. But there's so many people. Look, our goal is to fill up McCamish, just like, the men we want to have. We want to have 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people in at our games. And we're going to do that because we're going to keep playing good basketball and we're going to keep having high caliber players come in. And it's the future is going to be fun. Looking forward to it.
Coach, before I let you go, obviously we love the basketball, but there's also been real issues to discuss as well away from the game. The reasoning behind your inspiration to the letter to Mark Emmert by going, hey, listen, pay attention. You know what? We matter. It's take notice of what we're doing here with the women's game. What was the reasoning behind that for you to say, listen, I need to say something?
Well, just about every coach has spoken out between these two tournaments going on, one in Indianapolis and one in San Antonio. We just have to take, you have to use your moment. You have to use your platform when it unveils itself and show those inequities. We are constantly struggling. We have been ever since before Title IX. Women's sports has been struggling. So we're constantly climbing a ladder to try to get up near where the men are. Look, it's not like we want to take anything away from the men. It's just like we want equity. It's like we want equity, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I think that this just gives us another platform to show that, speak out about it, because of the disparities that are between the two tournaments.
Well, we appreciate the time, as always. Two things up before I let you go. I cannot help you, though, on the Starbucks coffee. You're on your own on that this morning, all right? That's number one, with your name on it. And number two, I'll allow you to give a shout-out to your cat, Tito, that I know you're missing desperately down there in Texas.
Tito, there's no telling what my house looks like with me being gone this long, I'm telling you. But, I miss my cat. There's no doubt about it. I miss my cat. But
there you go.
We'll see. He doesn't mind.
Well, listen, we wish you the very best. Congratulations on the Sweet 16, but I know you want more, you and the ladies, and can't wait to watch your game against South Carolina. And again, thanks again for the time.
Thank y'all so much. Have a great day.
You got it, Nell. Take care of yourself. By the way, quick reminder, Friday and Saturday night coming up, Friday and Saturday night, number 11, Georgia Tech and Duke play the first of two games in a big three-game weekend series in Durham. Our coverage of both games starts at 7 p.m. Eastern right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. A little ACC baseball for you. Be good to go. When we come back, Kelly still continues her list. She gave us her top five memories that she's got with the men. We'll see what she has to say about the ladies. All right. All that is coming up. Final segment of show number 348, Packer and Durham. Kelly Gramlich filling in for Wes. You guys right here on ACC Network and on SiriusXM channel 371.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham with Kelly Gramlich. Final segment of a very quick three-hour show. All right, Kelly, you unveiled your top five NCAA tournament moments involving ACC teams for the men. You know, we're just sitting there talking about with Coach about equity, so we're going to do it with the ladies. So with that said, the floor is yours.
Well, of course we are. We're going to talk the ladies here. And we've talked a lot of women's hoops today, which has been really fun. So we're going to go 3-1, as we did 5-1 the previous one. So number three, I was actually talking about this with Jeff Walls on me and Eric McClain's podcast. I had to get a little mention in there. Mac would have been mad if I didn't. The Louisville upset of Baylor in 2013 in the Sweet 16. This was the number one overall seed Baylor in 13, who everyone just assumed was going to run away with the national title. Odyssey Sims, Brittany Griner. Look at young Jeff Walls. He looks a lot younger there. He looks young now. But Louisville upset Baylor. It was an incredible game. Shoni Schimmel was amazing. She had the circus shot where she threw the ball basically over her head, over Brittany Griner. That was an epic performance. So I have number three there, Louisville upsetting Baylor.
And by the way, I'm assuming that Jeff Walls has gotten his Ford F-150 all cleared up and good, because the last time we talked to Coach, he was at the dealership getting his truck worked on, and we kid around. We better make sure no Kentucky Wildcat guys at the Ford dealership working on his truck, because we got important things to take care of in March. So Coach is good to go. And again, later this afternoon, 5 p.m., they get Northwestern, and hopefully we're talking about Louisville in the Sweet 16 tomorrow. All right, number two on your list.
For sure. All right, number two, we're going to get into the national championship portion of this list. North Carolina winning its first national title in 1994. They defeated Louisiana Tech. Look at these throwback shots. I love it. Charlotte Smith was great on this team. Future Olympian Marion Jones was on this team. This was a very good squad. You see the celebration. And that national title, it just adds a different level to your tradition. It's something that programs like Louisville are still chasing. Look at the emotion in that picture, Pack. I absolutely love it.
It's hard to believe that that was 27 years ago. I remember putting my feet up and channel surfing and ran across the game and put the remote down, and it was a thriller, like you said, a one-pointer. But that's hard to believe that was 27 years ago. Is that nuts?
It is nuts, indeed.
Right. Number one.
On this list, no doubt about it, didn't even have to think twice. It's Arike Ogunbowale with her second buzzer beater of that Final Four, but this one in the national championship game to beat Mississippi State. It was an absolutely incredible shot, a three to win it. Coach McGraw is absolutely losing her mind. She just looks like she's in shock. She can't believe it. That was such a good team, too. That Notre Dame team was absolutely loaded. And Arike Ogunbowale, one of the best players to ever play in the ACC and in the sport, and one of the clutchest. She has that clutch gene, and it showed up in that Final Four and that national championship game.
Really, that whole weekend, because like you said, she made two that weekend for WW. Yeah. Catch you later. And you're right about Muffet, because Muffet had that look on her face like, oh my God. Oh my God. We just won the, I mean, she really,
right.
She was, I'm not sure she even knew what was going on for about 10 seconds after the shot went in. She had that crazy look on her face.
The look was priceless. Yeah. And then the Irish jig that Coach McGraw did after was also excellent.
Classic. All right, that leads us to one game with the ACC this afternoon. I mentioned Louisville and Northwestern hook up at 5 p.m. You've got another busy day on the air and all that stuff. It never stops with you, the ubiquitous one during the tournament. You got a good vibe about Louisville. We talked about Dana Evans struggling a little bit, but do you have a good vibe about Louisville as we head into maybe another Sweet 16 appearance?
I do. I think Louisville's going to punch their ticket to the Sweet 16 today, and eventually Dana Evans is going to shoot her way out of this slump. I would assume we're going to get a good performance from her today. But what I like about this matchup for Louisville is that Northwestern is not the biggest team in the country. They start one player over 6 feet tall. And Louisville, ideally, they want to play their four guards. They want to play fast. They want to get out in the open floor. So I think the Cardinals are really going to have a chance to do that today against Northwestern. I expect Haley Van Lith to perform well for the Cards as well. And I think Louisville will be dancing into the Sweet 16 pack.
All right, so that would put three ACC teams in the Sweet 16 for the ladies. Under that scenario, no surprise with NC State as a one, Louisville as a two. And again, I think what Nell just talked about with her team being comfortable and relaxed, jumping that Sweet 16, I think they'll play well against South Carolina this week.
I think so too. Now, South Carolina is a great team, but if Georgia Tech can make this game ugly, make it a defensive battle, just ugly it up, right? Make South Carolina uncomfortable. And then if Lodamai Lotman, who I think is the key for the Yellow Jackets, if she can make some shots from outside and stretch the floor, I think that'll be big.
Great job, Kelly. Look forward for the next one. Great job by the crew in Bristol. Catch everybody tomorrow, 7 sharp.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.